Hey everybody, welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here today. This is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring women, and we have a lot of fun talking about anything from athletics to jobs, all kinds of stuff. Today, you are listening to episode 19, and we're talking with Laura Redman. Laura was a collegiate athlete at Purdue University, and she went on to run in the Olympic trials in the marathon in 2013. Laura then transitioned into becoming this CrossFitter, Olympic weightlifter. The girl is strong, and she has a really cool story and a lot of great advice for both runners and weightlifters, and she just has a really unique experience. You don't see a lot of really fast runners transitioning into the CrossFit world, and someone who is talented at both sports, it's pretty amazing to see what she can do. And I just had a lot of fun talking with her. Laura came over to my house. We sat at my dining room table, which is really one of the most fun ways I can interview somebody. A lot of times I do my interviews over Skype, so when I have someone local and we can actually sit down face to face, it's a lot of fun. Before we get started talking with Laura, I would love it if you would subscribe to the show and do me a favor and tell two friends about the show. I would really appreciate that. And I would love it if you would be able to go over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever, and leave me a rating and review. That would be so helpful. And thank you to everybody who has been doing that so far. Sweet Belle. Listening to Lindsay chat with her guests is like listening to a really good conversation at the table next to you at a coffee shop, even though your nose is stuck in a book. Unlike the coffee shop, though, it is probably okay to occasionally nod, laugh, or talk back to the podcast. I hope you do that. I would love it so much if I was out on the Monon and I saw someone running on the trail and nodding and laughing, and to think that they were actually listening to my show and that they were having fun with it, that would just make me laugh so much. I love that so much. So thank you, Belle, for that. I wanted to let you guys know that my husband, Glenn, and I, we offer virtual coaching online. We write custom training plans, and we also do coaching throughout your training cycle. We've coached dozens of athletes, and we have a lot of fun with it. We have a unique process just because there's two of us, and oftentimes we bounce ideas off of each other, and we can really use each other for knowledge. We have experience in different kinds of racing, and it's really fun to coach together. And so if you're interested in working with us, if you've got a goal to, you know, complete your first marathon, maybe go for a Boston qualifier, break 2 hours in the half marathon, run your first 5K, whatever you're looking to do, if you're interested, you can check us out. Our website is lindsayhine.com, and we have a coaching tab, and you can email us. Our coaching email is outforarun.training@gmail.com. Any other information about the podcast, though, send me an email, lindsayhine@lindsayhine.com. Make sure you're following along on social media. You can find me on Instagram, lindsayhine626, and you can find me on Twitter, @lindsayhine. Okay, let's go ahead and get started talking with Laura. Intro to Laura.
All right.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up? All that good stuff.
All right. So I am from Indianapolis. I went to Catholic grade school, St. Pius. I went to Cathedral High School. And I went to Purdue. Athletically, I was a gymnast growing up.
That's not surprising.
And I did that, you know, competitively, and until, you know, I think I was around 12, and I decided I wanted to play sports with my friends. And in high school, I ran track and field, and I ran cross country for 2 years after I got cut from the volleyball team. And I guess I didn't kind of realize my potential or capabilities until we had a new coach come in my senior year, and I kind of just like ran for fun. And
Were you one of the top girls on the team?
Yeah, but I never went to state. I never made it to regionals.
Because your team didn't make it?
No, just because, our team didn't, and okay. I didn't. And then we had a new coach come in and kind of helped us in a lot of different ways, you know, help us realize capabilities and, like, hey, you could run in college. Hey, you're going to win state. It was just, like, thoughts I'd never even thought of before, so... I went from, you know, never thinking I had a future in running to, like, you're going to run in college now. And I ended up getting second in the 800 meters at state. And I
in track your senior year.
In my senior year.
Okay.
I actually lost to Morgan Usney. So
okay.
She okay. She's a world champion in the 1500 meters.
Okay. Okay.
So that's who beat me at state.
What kind of time did you have to run in the 800 to get second in state?
I ran 2:14.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'd never run less than maybe 2:18 before.
So did you just have like an insane race?
I just think through the year I was building up for a really good performance that day. And
so were you even on people's radar? You know what I mean?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think by that time I had signed with Purdue.
Okay.
And the opportunity to run at a Big Ten school was just so unbelievable to me. And it didn't matter what school it was. I wanted to run and, like, kind of see my potential. So, yeah, that kind of all happened so quickly in a year. Yeah.
So if you were doing, it's funny that you say you started out with gymnastics because, mm-hmm. and we'll get into your CrossFit and lifting and all that in a little bit,
yeah.
but I always, whenever I watch people CrossFit and do stuff like that, I'm always like, I bet they're a really good gymnast.
The background certainly helps, I think,
yeah.
with any sport you
yeah.
do. Just having that body awareness and you're fearless when you're a little mm-hmm. kid, you know, and the discipline it takes, and you're so strong too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you think back of like what we did when we were 8 years old doing 20 pull-ups. It's like, holy cow, how did we do that?
That's crazy.
You know?
So did you go to like state competitions and stuff when you were competing as a kid?
Yeah, I was, back then, I don't know if it is like this now,
yeah.
I was a level 8.
Okay.
So, in the, you know, the top level is level 10, and
uh-huh.
you're optional, and then you are elite and all that.
Yeah.
So I reached my potential, and yeah, that was, you start getting scared of everything.
Well, yeah, because you're doing like these giants on the bar and like
yeah.
back tucks on
and
the.
You're like, Mom, I don't want to go anymore.
I don't want to break my neck on the beam when I'm trying to do these flips on this tiny little,
right.
little thing.
Right.
Okay, so in college, so you realized your potential with running when you were like a junior, senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach came in your senior year.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he still coaching at Cathedral?
He coaches at Carmel. Yeah.
It's so interesting to me because I ran cross country in high school too, but
yeah.
and I got to go to state, but because
uh-huh.
of my team.
Right.
Like I was like anywhere between like the fourth and sixth girl on my team usually, and I never was anywhere near qualifying on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But like as a team we made it, so I always got to go.
To me that's so much more fun anyway.
It is fun, but it's like crazy to think that someone as fast as you didn't get a go because you weren't in that top 15 to go individually, you
yeah,
know?
That's true, yeah. I mean, team is always so fun
yeah.
because you run harder for your teammates.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was always so – I think I went – so we didn't go my sophomore year. We went my junior and senior year. And I never raced well for me at state because I was just, like, scared because I was back of the pack for this group of girls, you know?
Well, and – we raced back on IU's course,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yep.
whose course was like that?
I know.
It was so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time I ran there. It's like, oh my
this is
gosh.
Crazy.
I'm like, I don't want to do this again.
It's always intimidating, though, when you're like the little fish in the
mm-hmm.
big sea of
mm-hmm.
all these intimidating runners and girls.
Yeah, for sure.
And the people that would place like top 15, I thought they were like superhuman.
Oh, me too.
Human beings.
I thought that too.
So in college, you. Did you do cross country too?
I did.
Okay.
Not my favorite thing,
mm.
but obviously I needed it. I, you know, starting cross country my second year in high school, I had no mileage under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my endurance was really low, and I needed those miles, especially because I was running the 1500 and the 800.
Okay.
So our programs with the middle distance, you still ran cross country. So
mm-hmm.
I was still one of the top runners.
On the cross country team?
Yeah, but just not my favorite.
So what was your preference, 800 or 15?
By the end, you know, I loved both. Let's see. I think top five in indoor 800
mm-hmm.
Big Tens a couple times. I never qualified for NCAAs. That was my goal by the end, my fifth year. And And that was for the 1500 is what my I did outdoors. And that was a huge letdown. And I think ultimately in the end, that's what kept me going. My first few years in college, I struggled with a few things. Injuries. I had a couple stress fractures. I had compartment syndrome surgery my junior year. And I was also in a sorority. And I also was in nursing school. So, like, I felt like I needed to be well-rounded, where I maybe looking back and, you know, now that you have the knowledge now, you can think, well, I should have done this, is put all my energy into running. And that's what I did my senior year and fifth year. And it's actually kind of funny the way it all worked out. I was supposed to graduate my fourth year, and I had a job lined up. I had already committed to a nursing job. I was going into the operating room. And we were coming back from Georgia on the bus, and I was sitting with my coach, and she's like, you know what? You should stay another year. And I was like, what?
So you were graduating.
I mean, I was graduating in 3 weeks.
But had you redshirted a year, so you had that eligibility?
Okay. I still had eligibility. She was like, you should stay another year. Okay. She's like, you have indoor and outdoor. She's like, just stay. And I was like, I was like, you're crazy. And I thought about it, and I stayed. Like, I called my job, and luckily they were, you know, cool enough to be like, yeah, you can come next year.
Oh, wow.
And I begged my parents, and, you know, by that time I had performed well enough to have enough scholarship where they I could stay.
Yeah.
And they let me stay. It was the best year of my entire life because it was dedicated to running, and, you know.
Did you have to take classes too, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, what did you take?
I got a psych and soc minor.
Okay. So,
and I took some really fun classes that I did have the opportunity to take because in nursing school and running, my schedule is so full. Like, I wanted to take some health and kinesiology classes and some more advanced pathophysiology classes. So, like, I didn't totally slack off.
But you took classes that were easier than, like, anatomy and physiology and things you had to take for nursing.
Right. So, I mean, that year, it was such a blessing that, you know, my coach said that to me, that, hey, you can do this. You can stay. And I think that's ultimately, like, that conversation is, like, what led me to running post-collegiately. And
What did your fifth year look like, running-wise? What did you do?
So I trained. I got tons of miles in my over cross-country season. Our DMR was awesome.
What's DMR?
Our distance medley relay indoors. Okay. We didn't make it to NCAAs. We were like one or two spots out. And then the same thing happened for the 1500. I was like one or two spots out from the 1500. And I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
You know, I ran well. I made the final at the Big Tens. And, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
And I just know when I went home and started my job, my husband now had graduated from IU and ran for Robert Chapman there. Okay. And he was starting a post-collegiate running team called Team Indiana Elite.
Okay.
So this was in 2000.
Your husband was.
Yeah. And he was on the team with Robert Chapman, the coach, along with some other IU guys and some other post-collegiate runners. And we were sponsored by Brooks. And he's like, hey, we're looking for ladies to be on this team.
Mm.
And so this is a long time ago. It was 2007.
Right after you graduated?
Right after I graduated.
And did you know him before then, or did he just kind of randomly reach out?
I knew him through running. We were not dating at the time.
You knew him because, see, I met your husband in college. I knew
him.
He, came to some house parties we had or something.
Right. He knew you, yes.
Yeah. I knew he ran for IU, so he knew who you were because he ran for IU and you ran for Purdue kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, back then there was no social media.
Right.
He, like, emailed me one day, like, you're cute. You know?
Oh, I love it.
But anyways, he was like, we need women on our team. Are you interested in still running? And I was like, absolutely, I am. I was pumped. I was still super excited about training. And, like, some of the girls on that team were really good. Jessica Gall ran on Team
Indiana. I recognize that name. Okay.
So,
how many girls and how many guys were on the team?
It was, at one point, I think there was maybe like around 6 to 8-ish.
Okay.
Both. And Team Indiana Elite, you know, was still around, I think, for a while. It dwindled.
Okay.
And, you know, you know, you hear the word sponsor, but yeah. It's not, you know.
You get some gear and, like, right. Yeah.
Right. I still worked a full-time right. job, but, you know, you're giving given opportunities mm-hmm. that I didn't have without
maybe
that.
Maybe, like, race entries covered and
for
things
sure.
like that.
We went and raced at, like, club cross-country mm. championships, really, really fun. And my goal that year was to make it to the Olympic trials
okay.
in the 1500 meters.
Okay.
So that was for the 2008.
Okay.
And I trained super hard. We went to Flagstaff for a month. And
all of you, the whole team?
Yeah, I got to go and live with some runners there and train in altitude. So that was, I can't believe I did it.
Is it so hard?
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, too, like, I was so green,
yeah.
you know, and I hadn't run anything. I think I had run 4:21 in
yeah.
1,500 meters,
okay.
so I hadn't even run sub 4:20, and I'm glad that I didn't care, that I didn't think I was a superstar, you
uh-huh.
know, like, I just went for the experience, and I'm so happy I did, and I ran, I think 4:20 around the same time as my PR that year. I didn't make it to the trials.
What do people, to make it to the trials, what do you have to do?
I had to, so back then it's changed
okay.
since then. So back then there was an A standard
okay.
and a B standard. So if you made the B, you just ended up on a list
okay.
and then they cut you off.
Mm.
So had I run 4:17, probably would have made it.
Okay.
I just lacked the experience.
Mm.
And
what is that equivalent to a mile? Like, if you ran a 4:17, 1500, that'd be like a 4.
What I had run was equivalent to like a 4:38,
okay.
like a 4:40
okay.
mile.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I was crazy enough to still want to train
mm-hmm.
after that. And, I made it to the indoor championships in the mile in 2010. So that took, you know, 2 years for me to make a championship. And then, ran in Albuquerque, and I remember thinking, like, I just don't belong here. Like, I didn't feel like I
yeah.
deserved it,
yeah.
you know? It was, I was starstruck.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I mean, I was so proud of myself, but it was tough.
Like, why am I, who were some of the people that you're standing in line with that you're
oh
like,
my gosh, like Shannon Roberry.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my friends took pictures of the TV screen
uh-huh.
and, like, I'm, like, right behind her and I'm just like, what the hell?
What's
like, I'm
on?
Just a nurse. Like, I would
yeah.
I would go down to NIFS at, like,
uh-huh.
5 a.m. and run 10 by 400 meters.
Mm-hmm.
And
by yourself?
Yeah. Or, like, my husband would go and time me, and...
Now, were you guys dating already at this point?
Yeah, so
yeah.
we started dating.
Okay, and after you joined the team.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
So you guys started dating in 2007?
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you get married?
I got married in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So we dated for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, after... few years trying to run the mile, I was like, I want to go to the Olympic trials and the marathon. I was like, I can do this. I know
so
I can.
What was the furthest distance race you'd done at that point?
I'd run a couple halves.
Okay.
But I mean,
like, had you raced them or were you kind of not really?
I ran like 118.
Okay.
A couple, you know, maybe 117 the next
uh-huh.
time I ran. And I think through those years, like, I needed time on my feet.
Mm.
I needed mileage. And I would say this to any runner, is do long runs
mm.
and do them hard.
Even if you're just training for a short distance?
Yeah, I still recommend it.
Yeah.
And because that's what made me tough. We would go out on Sundays I would go with a group of guys,
mm.
my husband and, you know, his old teammates, and they would just, can I guess? They would just beat the shit out of me. Like, we would run down from Carmel all the way down to Butler and back, and they would just crush me on the way back.
So would they be working hard, but, like, not all out, and you were just
yeah,
like
and they
killing
would just,
it
right, and then finally, like, I mean, years, like, I would say 2 years, like, I could lay it down on them,
mm.
and they'd be like, oh gosh, Laura,
because they weren't training hard anymore
yeah.
for them personally.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, that's where I felt like I got strong.
Yeah.
And
so when did you run your first full marathon?
I ran Chicago
okay.
in 2011, and that's I love that race.
Yeah,
it's awesome. That's when I qualified.
Okay, so you qualified in your first marathon for the trials.
Yeah.
What did you run?
I ran 2:45.
Okay, and at the time the standard was was it 2:47?
Yeah, I think 2:47 or 2:48.
Is it 2:43 now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's the B standard.
Yeah.
And the A standard's 2:39?
Yeah.
So what was the A standard then?
I think 2:39, somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah. Okay, so you qualified for the trials, your first marathon. That's crazy. And it was the fall of 2011.
Yeah.
And so then you ran the trials that February?
Correct.
That's so
January.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Such a quick turnaround.
It worked out perfectly because it didn't give you enough time to get disconnected.
Right.
And you could do another perfect training block.
Did you feel like you had enough time to recover?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was fine. And I was so pumped. And that winter was really mild. So I kind of, at that time, we were living in Carmel. And I trained by myself. I was logging 100-mile weeks easily and working full-time.
That's what I was going to ask you, how many miles you peaked out at.
Yeah, around 100.
Did you still do your long runs with the guys, though?
By that time, things had changed. I alternated my runs. One week was for time.
Mm.
So I'd run 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Okay.
Or, the time of my race. And then the other week was a lactate threshold run.
Okay.
And by that time, I could do it alone. And I felt like it was really important to run alone because you're the only one out there in a race.
Right.
And you don't have anyone there
yelling at you.
Yeah. Talking to you. And that's where my mental game, I felt really stepped up. And I would go down on Sunday morning by myself if it was an LT run and just log.
Go to the track?
I would run in Broad Ripple on the Monon, down and back a couple times. And Erin Nias.
Oh, yeah.
Her and I would train together occasionally.
Yeah.
Talk about another.
The same year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about another badass lady, working full time. We would go and train in the mornings at 5:30 a.m.
Uh-huh.
We both go to work. And I just remember sometimes going up the stairs at the hospital being like, I don't know how I'm going to work today.
Stand on my feet for 12 hours.
Yeah, someone get me a stool.
Yeah.
So it was challenging.
So that year, I actually remember stalking the trials, who from Indianapolis ran. Wasn't it you, Erin, and did Jackie Dekos run too?
Yeah, she did.
The three of you?
Okay. Yeah, we all knew each other, supportive of one another, and that's what I loved is I kind of had friends in a lot of different communities, and even though we're all doing our own training.
Right.
So
when you guys went out there to the trials, did you meet up or anything, or did you just kind of see each other at the start line?
I would say we were all pretty focused on our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
seems
what
to be
you,
the way runners are.
I know. Right? Yeah. You don't want to get distracted. What did you run at the trials then?
I ran 2:41.
Okay.
02.
So you did a 3-minute PR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So qualifying, we knew that was going to happen. I was kind of conservative at the race in Chicago, and it was hot.
Yeah.
So it was just run the standard.
So it was 2011? Okay, I was trying to think if I ran Chicago.
Yeah, did you run?
No, I ran it in 2010. So, what was I doing in 2011?
It was nice in 2010, wasn't it?
I think
so. Because I remember stalking the weather.
I didn't run it seriously because I had just got back from some bike trip. I was just running for fun, but I was just trying to think if I was out there on the same day.
Love Chicago. Almost spoiled running it before another race.
Because of the crowd and everything.
Yes.
I know. I was actually considering, before I got pregnant this year, I was actually considering making that my fall marathon.
Yeah.
Because I think some people or thrive on that, the crowd thing, and some people don't care so much.
Right.
Because Monumental is an easy option here,
because
you live here, you don't have to travel, it's not expensive, the roads.
Yeah.
But I feel I don't know what difference it could make with the big crowd in Chicago.
Right.
But for me, it's
good and
difference.
Bad, because it gets your adrenaline going, and you have to stay relaxed.
You have to calm down at, mile 10 when you're,
Yeah, but it also makes the time go by so fast.
I know. You ran 2:42, and then come back home, and...
Oh, after the trial?
Yeah.
I was like, I want to... run the Indy Mini Marathon and do as well as I can.
Okay.
I was in really, really good shape.
That was 3 months after the trials, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just kept training that spring, and I wanted to you know, be top three at the mini, and I was. I was third.
Okay. What'd you run?
Extremely hot that day. I ran 1:16 something.
Okay.
I was probably more like, I mean, as humble as I can say it, probably more like in 1:14.
No, I get it. Yeah. Totally.
It was just so hot. Humid. And, you know, that's one thing in running you have no control over. And I was super motivated after the race. Like, I still wanted to run the A standard and go to Chicago again because I loved it and, like, just knock that out. But my husband had been doing CrossFit for about a year, and I was interested. And I, when it was time to start running and training, I felt really unmotivated. And I didn't feel like I could force it. And I don't know what it was, but I went to go to CrossFit class, and I was, I mean, I was horrible. I mean, all I've been doing is running.
Right.
And I loved it. And Eric was my coach and, you know, my husband. He's like, you can't force this. You can't force your mind through 100-mile weeks and a successful marathon if your heart is not in it. And I kind of just told, I agreed. And it's almost like, you know, a breakup. Like,
right.
It was hard because I still felt like that need to like go run sometimes, you know, even though I was doing something different. And it was weird.
Did you have that sense of satisfaction though, knowing that you did get to go to the trials?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like you made
at
that
the
goal.
Time, I didn't realize how big of a deal that was. I don't want to say I took it for granted because like the day of I was soaking in every moment, but like, when I was there, unlike when I ran the mile at the championships, I felt like I belonged. I knew I put in the work.
Yeah.
And there are great ladies there, and I made really good friends too, even during the race, because we were helping each other along, and we were like, we're going to run 608s, we're staying together. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
And so to leave kind of on a positive note is awesome.
Do you still keep in touch with some of the girls you ran with?
Social media. Yeah, I would say I still.
Are they still in the game?
Yeah, and that's what's crazy to me. I mean, mad respect.
Yeah.
To be doing it 4 years later.
So, if you ran a 2:42, what did that like place you in? How many girls?
I was ranked 85th going in. I ran 2:41. So
okay. Oh, 2:41.
I'll take that minute.
Give me that minute. You worked for that minute.
And I finished 48th.
Okay, you finished 48th, and there was like 150.
Yeah, over 150
or something. Okay.
So I was happy with
that. Yeah, I remember looking it up, and I knew who you were. And I was like, man, that's pretty high up. But I couldn't remember what place you were. So you started CrossFitting. So interesting, I think around the time you started CrossFitting, I had visited the gym you were going to.
Yeah.
Where you went to.
Yeah.
And I went like twice, or I probably went more than that, maybe like five times.
Yeah.
And I told you this at the Strength in Our Streets thing. I had two miscarriages earlier the past 2 years, and right when I started, I found out I was pregnant again. And I was like super nervous about doing anything different because I didn't know why I had miscarriages. And so I kind of like just decided I this isn't for me. Like, I'm not going to do it because I'm a runner. I'm used to running. I'm just going to stick to what my body knows. And the person at the gym was just a little bit like to me about it. Kind of like, we have pregnant moms CrossFit all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get that, but like, I've never done it before.
No, I'm with you.
So I hate it though, because it kind of put a bad taste for CrossFit in my mouth.
Sure.
And then also, when I walked into the gym, I told one of the coaches or whoever it was that I was a runner. And he's like, what, did you like run the mini this year or something? And I was like, no, I just ran my fifth marathon, you know, like it kind of just like belittling what my passion was, because I only wanted to go like a couple days a week. And so anyway, I left and never came back, but it makes me sad because like my sister, she's not an athlete of your caliber with CrossFit and stuff, but she loves it and she goes all the time. So I hate that that happened.
I hate it too. And that's one thing that's kind of, I wish it wasn't that way because no matter where you come from, like you can, there's nothing that should hold you back or like, or prevent you from doing that. So I think that's, you know, why they're like, oh, we don't have so many pregnant people, whatever. Yeah. But that was for your own personal reason. I totally understand and get, but I don't understand why running gets that sort of stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, and it shouldn't.
Right.
Because there's so much to be gained, and there's so much that I would think that the other CrossFitters would have to be in fear of because of the endurance factor. Because runners can come in and pretty much do everything without stopping because they're in such good shape.
Really low weights, but.
Well, and that's why, you know, I'll go into some more is I had the gymnastics background. Okay. Like when I started, I had some experience. Like I could do a handstand and, you know, like that's type of things. But man, the weights, like I couldn't even do an air squat. Like, could you do an air squat properly?
No,
I couldn't even move.
That was it was horrible. Because I felt like every time I went down, I was falling because I couldn't get my balance. And I was like, isn't that kind of like the base and the premise of like so many moves that you do? And I was like, I can't even squat with nothing on my, and I just felt like so clumsy.
Right. I know. I totally get it. And I understand. And I think as a coach now, I welcome anybody, any body type, any background, because it doesn't mean that's who you are.
Yeah.
And like, let's learn.
Yeah.
Why not? You know? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember trying to do an overhead squat and like falling over.
So you started going, like, did you just start going like a couple days a week?
Yeah. It was humbling.
Yeah.
For sure.
So could you do, I feel like you're just the super athletic person. You are. And like, could you do a pull up?
Yeah.
Okay. So because like I can't do a pull up now. I think if I practiced for a really long time, I could do one.
Yeah.
But you're strong. So when were you to the point where you were like, oh, I'm good at this?
Well, it was fun because I got to play catch up with my husband too. And like, you know, because
he had been doing CrossFit
for
a while.
Yeah, he'd been doing it for a year.
And he wasn't really running much anymore?
No.
Okay.
No. So he is in pretty good CrossFit shape. And, you know, he's helping me along. But sometimes, too, which is really negative about women, is when you come into a gym and someone good starts coming along, it's like, well, who is she?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're fighting that, too. And you're also trying to make friends. And you're in a new environment.
It's intimidating. It really is.
It is, for sure. And I always try to keep that in mind. Like
when you see new people.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if I'm coaching, I go above and beyond to make them feel comfortable and like build women up. Come on. Like let's like truly be supportive of one another. So anyways, so in CrossFit you can go in the spring, there's a competition. You can go to regionals.
Okay.
And you have to qualify. So you can go as a team or you can go individual.
So, okay.
CrossFit, it's hard. It's more challenging to qualify as an individual.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Our team qualified. So we went for 2 years. And that was great, you know. But there was something lacking, and that was my strength.
How did you make it so that you were the one on the team? Like, how do you... because your team, you're saying your gym win?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's 3 girls and 3 guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and my husband was on a team.
Oh, fun.
So it was really, really fun. And to be able to compete as a almost, you know, 30-year-old.
Right.
In a big event. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't expect to have that type of opportunity or experience, especially in running. Like, there's not big crowds usually for a track event.
Yeah.
And to go somewhere where, like, competing against other people, I loved that.
So to be one of the top 3 girls, are you...
You can...
How is that judged, I
I'm
guess?
Sorry, kind of skipped. So there's competition that leads up to called the Open.
Okay.
CrossFit Open.
And that is a local thing?
It's a worldwide competition. Okay. So you sign up, and they release these events every week, and you sign up, and you enter your scores into this database. Because you do one workout each week, and everyone in the entire world does the same workout.
Okay.
And then you compare yourself.
Do you have
judges? And all that.
Okay.
So I was like, this is so cool.
So the top 3 people at your gym, the top 3 scores, that's who the girls that you go are. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So anyways, the regional is so fun. It's a blast.
Where's it at?
So we're in the central regional, and that year it was in Columbus, and it was in Cincinnati. kind of stays local.
Midwest.
Yeah, and then if you qualify at the regionals, you go to the CrossFit Games, and that's the one that's on TV.
Oh, yeah, you know. I've seen that. Yeah. Yes.
So anyways, after, you know, 2 years, like, I really wanted to work on my weaknesses, and those weaknesses were that I was still very small, relatively small, and kind of, I guess, I don't want to say weak, but I needed work on my lifting. So Olympic lifts are the snatch and the clean and jerk, and powerlifting is deadlift, squat, and bench. And I didn't know these things. Like, I was like, I'm doing CrossFit, whatever that means. So CrossFit means you're doing both of those lifts and, you know, whatever else you might be doing, a bazillion different combinations of exercises. So after I decided I wanted to work on some weaknesses and get better, I found an Olympic lifting gym.
Okay.
And started.
Is that Lift Lab?
Yes.
Okay.
So I started my own program, where, like, it was kind of like more similar to running, where, like, you go in and do your work by yourself, and or not by yourself, by your own program.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not that bad. I weighed 120 pounds. And for my size, I was lifting actually really good weight. And I didn't really know that, because in CrossFit, there aren't weight classes. And
do you think that was an advantage to you, that you weren't carrying so much extra weight yourself?
I mean, that's what's so fascinating about CrossFit, is you have to be balanced and proficient at everything. Mm. So you have to be strong on the lifts. You have to be a good gymnast. You have to have high power output and have endurance and be super durable.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't durable. I was small. But then in Olympic lifting.
So did you only weigh 120 pounds when you went to CrossFit Regionals as your team?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Like running, I was like around 105.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Like,
so you had bulked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just running all those miles and. It's just different training,
right.
You know? And I wanted to put on some weight and get more durable. I didn't want to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I started lifting, and I realized I could qualify for nationals and the American Open in weightlifting. And I was like, well, this is awesome.
Another, is that separate from CrossFit?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So okay. Olympic lifting is an Olympic event.
Okay.
So you do two lifts. You do the snatch and clean and jerk.
Okay.
And they're very technical movements. You have to be strong and very proficient and go out and perform. So you also have a weight class. So that was something I'd never done before either. So I think realizing that, hey, you're not that bad. You're actually pretty good. Was a really cool thing to realize.
Do you think that leveled the playing field a little bit, that you were competing against other girls that were in your weight class?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. And
So you went to that?
Yes, I went to I've gone to the American Open
Okay. Two
times.
Okay.
So that's a national level weightlifting meet. And I've gone to Nationals, which is the national weightlifting meet. And it's really challenging to qualify for nationals. I actually had to cut a lot of weight. I had to cut to 53 kilos at the time. That's like 115, 16 pounds.
Oh, so you were real little then.
But
you were, because you had so much muscle.
Well, I came off a CrossFit season.
Okay.
And knew I only had a month to qualify. This is crazy. This is probably one of the craziest things I've done. I only had a month to qualify, and I weighed about 130 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to cut 15 pounds.
So how did you do that?
And I was like, well, there's obviously really healthy ways to do it over a long period of time.
Right.
And like a long cut, which I definitely support that. Over that month, it was kind of just, I logged every single thing I ate. I didn't do anything unhealthy. I don't want to say that I was, depriving myself of food, but like, you have to eat less to lose weight,
right.
Are just the facts.
Yeah.
So, kind of just making it as steady as I could. And what was challenging was you go to qualify, and it's like, okay, go and lift the most weight that you can ever lift, and like, you've barely eaten anything the 2 days before.
How do you do that?
I mean, it was a whole new level of respect and like something different and new that I've never done before.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did it, because what, you know, it's another great experience to have as an athlete and as a coach.
So let me ask you this, just because for people listening, like, you cut all that weight in such a short period of time, like, and I think a lot of women deal with, like, food issues and weight issues and stuff. Is that something, like, body image and stuff that you've never really had an issue with?
So I'm so glad you asked me this, too. And it is challenging, especially coming from, you know, sports where you are on the smaller side. Mm-hmm. And then being in CrossFit where kind of like women are being sexualized a little bit, mm-hmm. Just with the attire, mm-hmm. and like the advertising and all of that. It was challenging. And that's why I only cut to 53 times, and I said I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it was such a slippery slope, mm-hmm. of managing the food, and like you ride this line of putting everything in MyFitnessPal, mm-hmm. and like to try to go back to like do that again, just I think can be dangerous, mm-hmm. and I think why not be the biggest and strongest and healthiest you can be? Mm-hmm. That's just not, you can't maintain
doing that all the time. But you wouldn't change that you did it.
Absolutely not. Because I knew I was only going to do it twice.
And you knew that, like, you felt confident in yourself that, like, it wasn't going to become, like, an addiction or obsession.
Right. And I think kind of, like, having that, like, acknowledging, mm-hmm. like, I was like, I knew, like, this is not great for me. Like, I would much rather go eat pizza and not chicken and vegetables.
Right.
But, like, I think just knowing in my head that, like, this is for performance.
Temporary.
And that's it.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with how I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. This is purely for the sport.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was so important. And I think you're exactly right. With women in that sport of Olympic lifting, powerlifting, or physique, or, you know, along that line, is if you're doing that for so long, it kind of starts messing with you.
Yeah.
And you have to be healthy and be nice to your body. And I think it's always about balance. And that's why, you know, I love CrossFit too, is I was like, I can eat what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm working so hard.
Right.
I'm doing 5 hours in the gym a day. Yeah. Would it help me to probably eat a little bit healthier? Yes. But like when people are like, what kind of diet do you follow? I'm like, you know what? I don't.
I was wondering about that.
Like, I don't follow anything. I try to eat as healthy and as clean as I possibly can, and without withholding myself.
Like
anything.
If you're out at a restaurant or whatever, and there's not a lot of good options, you just get whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this: like, I don't eat fast food.
Yeah,
you know, but like, if I want
just part of your lifestyle.
Yeah,
yeah.
If I want some pizza or like to make homemade cookies and eat half the batch, I'm going to.
Right.
But I don't do that very often.
Yeah.
And I think to label food as good or bad, I don't think that's correct.
So does your husband, Eric, he's still into CrossFit,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you guys naturally lean towards, like, a high protein, that kind of diet?
I would say
paleo.
And that
whatever.
Helps is that both of us kind of have the same type of view on
what
food.
Right.
Like, you know, we try to eat healthy during the week. If we're going to go out to 20 Tap and have a beer.
Love 20 Tap.
Yes. My favorite. Mm-hmm. Have a beer and burger. We're going to.
Yeah.
But we try not to, like.
You usually eat at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually. And I try to cook. So, yeah, I don't follow a diet.
Okay.
A lot of people ask me about
food. Yeah, I wonder. So, tell me what a typical, like, you wake up in the morning, do you do coffee? Like, what does a typical day look like?
I have the same breakfast every single day.
What do you have?
Super boring. I love coffee. I have oatmeal. It's mixed with almond butter and yogurt.
Okay.
And that's it.
What kind of yogurt?
Greek yogurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like vanilla or plain?
Like, kind of like, have you seen recipes for overnight oats?
Do you make the yogurt?
No, like the overnight oats. So you put those ingredients together and then put it in the fridge.
And
then heat it up the next day. So
we do steel cut oats, which I like a lot better than typical oatmeal because of the texture. I know they're healthier too, but I like it because of the texture.
Me too. Yeah.
But I put in my steel cut oats, I put maple syrup, a little bit of raw honey, frozen raspberries.
Oh, I'll have to try this
A little bit of almond butter.
Yeah.
And a little banana. Yeah. So it's like it's a high calorie breakfast, but it's like good stuff.
Right. So it's like, oh, you're barely eating anything. I was like, there's probably 500 calories in this breakfast. Let's not get it twisted.
Right. Like, two tablespoons of almond butter is high calorie. Right. For sure.
Right. And that's kind of like why I'm really happy I learned a lot about food when I was cutting. Like, what has calories in it? Like, what has good nutrition in it? Mm-hmm. What's poor nutrition? What are good choices? And that's why I'm thankful for that experience, too.
Yeah. Do you drink your coffee black?
No.
What do you put in it?
Just, you know, a little bit of creamer in
there. Just regular creamer?
Yeah.
I'm really big into putting... since I'm pregnant, whenever I first get pregnant, that first trimester, the acidity, I guess, makes me nauseous. And I really didn't want to kick coffee this time because it's like my day is just not started off good without it.
I don't know how I would ever do it.
It's so hard. And I never kicked it with my other two because of the caffeine. Like, I was never paranoid about that. I just couldn't stomach it.
Yeah.
So I would end up drinking like a Coke because I wanted the caffeine. And I don't like Diet Coke.
Right.
I didn't want to do the artificial stuff when I was pregnant anyway, but like I just don't like the taste of it. So every day at like 10 o'clock, I would end up drinking like a Dr. Pepper. So this time I was like, you know, and I don't normally drink Coke when I'm not pregnant. So I'm like, oh, great. Like, you're nurturing this human being in your body and you're drinking a Dr. Pepper every day.
Right.
Which isn't the end of the world. It's fine. But so I was convinced myself, like, you are going to do your coffee. Uh-huh. So I literally do half coffee, half chocolate milk. Every morning.
Oh, nice. I like it.
It's like, it's like a mocha, I guess.
I'll have to try that.
Then last night, were you up all night because of the fireworks?
No, I was super tired.
Well, I was super tired too, but I couldn't sleep because in our neighborhood, like, they were going crazy till like 1 a.m. So then I went to Starbucks and got a caramel macchiato.
You got to get the real deal.
I'm like, this baby is coming out fully caffeinated. Anyway, enough about me, but back to you. So you do the oatmeal lunch. What does that all that look like?
I'll pack my lunch. I usually do some sort of, vegetables and, chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty so you're boring. Sticking to pretty like,
yeah.
Yeah. You're sticking to pretty healthy then.
Yeah.
And then what do you guys do for dinner normally?
I'll cook. I mean, I don't know.
I saw on your Instagram, you made a really yummy looking pizza.
Yeah. See, I make pizza.
Yeah.
You eat pizza. It's good for you.
What dough do you use for that?
Just the Boboli. I mean, I didn't make it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
But you put the sauce on.
But, like, we'll have a salad with it, too. Yeah. I'm like, I have to eat a vegetable.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm a big fan of breakfast for dinner, too. Mm. So we'll always...
Like omelets or something?
Yeah, we'll always make a scramble or, you know, protein pancakes or something like
that,
too.
So, but then are you... I mean, you say you bring chicken and vegetables for lunch. Are you, like, snacking in between or anything?
Yeah, especially... Well, coaching days, much easier to, snack. So
right.
I work 2 12s at the hospital, and you kind of just have to... run in and
eat what you can.
I always will have a protein shake available because it'll just like fill you up.
Easy, quick calories.
Right. And banana and almond butter definitely go too. I function on a high fat diet.
So you're a nurse. What floor do you work on?
I work in surgery.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm in surgery the whole day.
Just general surgery?
I'm in a main OR, so we do general surgery, we do GYN, ortho, neuro, we do everything.
So GYN, you mean like hysterectomies and stuff like that?
Okay. Yeah, everything but cardiac.
Okay.
So
So do you do like mastectomies and things
sometimes.
Like that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have teams at our hospital. I do mostly robotic surgery.
Okay.
I know that sounds crazy.
What is that?
It's kind of... So if you've heard of laparoscopic surgery, when they use a camera, it's like similar to laparoscopic surgery, but almost like a level even further advanced where the surgeons at a console almost looks like they're playing a game and the robot is inside patient through the ports like laparoscopic surgery.
That's insane.
So it's awesome.
So what do you
do? I love it. So I'm at the bedside. I'm by the patient.
Okay.
Or I'm... there's two roles in nursing. You can either scrub or circulate, or you're the one picking the patient up and pre-op and bringing them back to surgery and kind of getting everything ready for the day.
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple surgeries. Those nurses, they're important.
Well, hopefully they were good.
They were. I had really good nurses because it's really intimidating and scary, especially if you've never had surgery before.
Right.
And it's almost like you need, like, a motherly, nurturing type to, like, hold your hand.
Well, it is. And it's hard because a lot of us in the OR are We're in the OR for a reason. We like to work hard.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of patient contact time, so we only have about 5 minutes to kind of gain the patient's trust, you know? And then, you know, the patient's going off to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's a unique, but I love it. Like, that's where I belong.
That's awesome. So you do, and this was another one of my questions, you do 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
In nursing,
mm-hmm.
and then how often do you coach? Because you coach down at Lift Lab at your gym that you work out at, right?
Yes. Okay. I coach fitness classes on Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you do early morning,
uh-huh.
you go home, have a break,
yeah.
and you do evening as well?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So I started, I guess I should rewind. I was a nurse for 8 years before I started coaching.
Always OR?
Always OR, okay. yeah. So in this past year, I wanted to get into coaching. Athletics has been my passion. Like, I had a great opportunity.
It's okay.
I can and I was like, let's go for it.
Do you hear her?
It's okay. I was like, let's go for it. So I did it. And it's been a challenge. It's been, you know, great balancing both. It makes me appreciate both things. So
how many hours a week do you coach then?
Let's see. I'd say around 12 to 15.
And then how many hours a week are you working out in the gym?
When I was training for something, I was doing 2-a-days.
Okay.
So my day was completely full. Yeah. Like,
and 2-a-days meaning like 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening or?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your day is totally consumed with your workouts and your program.
Yeah.
And, it was full. I kind of was like, how am I going to do this? And now that I'm taking a break from any competitions, it's a lot nicer. I was like, wow, I have free time.
A normal life. So rewind really quick. You just competed in the CrossFit regionals as an individual.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get there?
So the goal this year, Lift Lab's a new gym.
Okay.
I wanted to help our team make it.
As a team.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were...
Like you did at your other
correct,
gym.
Correct. Okay. So we were a couple spots out of making it, which is super disappointing because it's really, really hard to make it.
Yeah.
Especially as a new gym. And I wanted our gym to kind of put our name on the map. Like, who are these people?
Well, would you have been one of the people on the team?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I said I was going to go team no matter what if we made it.
Okay.
So... you know, the open wrapped up and we realized we're probably not going to make it, but I have this opportunity to go as an individual, which I've never done before. And, that kind of started to excite me. And when, you know, I first started training for our team making it, I was like, I don't, you know, whatever happens, I just want to help the team along. This is kind of a selfless thing that I don't, you know, I'm not in it for me. And then I was like, you know what? I am really excited. I worked really hard for this. Like, I deserve to be there. And it was it was challenging, you know?
How do you get picked or how do you make it to
you
make
have
it?
To be you have to be top 20 in your region.
In like the open thing you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And there are thousands and thousands of girls who try to.
So once you realize your team isn't making it, you go to the open as an individual?
No, they take your individual scores
from
and
the
apply.
Team. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so I went and competed, and I finished 24th, and I was super proud that I left in one piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a 32-year-old doing the events that they had out, it was so physically challenging.
How old are what's the average age?
I'm on the old side.
Really?
Very old
gosh,
side.
Gosh, and we're so young still.
I know.
That's not fair.
And it kind of was the first time that I was like, okay, I see why there's masters. This does not seem like an even playing field when I'm up against, you know, 20 to 25. You think about how you felt at those ages. It's completely different.
Yeah.
You could still go out on long runs and, like, go out partying the night before.
Yeah.
You know, it's so different. So the regional's 3 days long.
Okay.
You wake up that third day and I'm like, I can't even move.
Yeah.
And there's not enough ibuprofen out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're challenged physically, those emotions come out too. And I was proud of myself no matter what happened. And I know that seems like, okay, well, why wasn't she, like, trying to get top 10? But I'm a realist.
Yeah. How many girls were there?
There's 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Well, I was talking to my friend Brooke about this. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's from Bloomington.
Uh-huh.
She does CrossFit. And I was telling her about you and that I was going to interview you. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she went to CrossFit regionals as an individual. And she was like, that's serious. Like, you have to be really good to get there.
Oh, thank you. And it's changing. You know, some of these girls, that's their full-time job.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's part of it, too. Is
yes,
like,
totally.
I'm working quite a bit.
Right.
And that's not my life. And
I think about that with runners sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm always like, well, I mean, if I gave that much time and dedication, not that I would qualify for the Olympic trials, but, like, I could probably be a lot faster if I wasn't staying home with two kids and working part-time.
And it's not like you're using that as an excuse.
Yeah.
But that's just the reality of the situation. And
totally.
That motivates you so much more.
Yeah.
That's what motivated
me.
It was like, you know what? This isn't my life, and I can still do well.
Right. You know? That makes it that makes it exciting.
Yeah, and it's rewarding.
Yeah.
And it feels really good. So
what's next then?
I can't believe I'm ever at this point in my life, but I'm kind of taking a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. that regional and the training was
you
so
earned it.
Hard on my body. I
yeah.
was like, you know what? I'm not going to have anything on the radar for
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
So
what do you think you'll ever want to be like into running again?
I love that you asked me this because so since I've been coaching, I've been programming a lot of running for people.
Okay.
People are like, oh, Laura knows how to coach running. She knows a lot about the sport. Like she has had a, you know, positive experience. And I don't know why, but I've started running again.
Okay.
Which is like really cool.
Yeah.
And I think too, like it's a little bit nicer on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and it's the weather. I want to be outside.
Yeah.
So I started doing some long runs again and getting more comfortable.
How long?
I've made it maybe 55 minutes is my longest.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I can go for an hour 20.
Isn't that crazy that your long run used to be like 2.5 hours
yes.
and now it's 55 minutes?
Right. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go for 90 minutes. But you know what? I also need to be smart and realize what would I tell my clients,
right.
my athletes? I'm not gonna go 0 to 100
yeah.
that fast.
Yeah.
So like, let's ease back into it. So I don't know. It kind of intrigues me to think about getting back into it. Not seriously.
Not like Olympic
no.
trials qualifying.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Just to do another half maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be great.
So a balance between the two.
Yeah.
You're not giving, you would never give up the lifting side of things.
No.
You
no.
do kind of like a hybrid.
Yeah. I kind of, I think what is also great too is the positive thing about CrossFit is it connects you with so many people. You're
mm-hmm.
in a gym, you're
mm-hmm.
working hard together and
mm-hmm.
you make so many friendships.
Yeah.
And, you're not outside alone. And, that with running, it's a negative in some ways,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like, I missed that. I liked
that
being out.
Time.
I miss being outside and
yeah.
just having you and your thoughts and running on trails. So I love that I can appreciate both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you trained for a half marathon, mm-hmm. what would your goals be right now? I know. Cause you, in your email, you were like, we could run sometime. I'm like, I don't know. I'm pretty slow and pregnant right now.
I mean, it's so bad. Like, I am running, like, 8 to 10 minute miles.
Yeah.
So, just to run another half.
Just to run a half and see how you feel. Like,
yeah.
run hard and
yeah.
see what that gets you.
Yeah. Because I know, I'm also aware that it takes some time to get back into it. You
yeah.
know?
Well, and do you think that to get faster again, like, you'd have to lose some of the muscle bulk or what? But you probably don't want to do that.
You know, like, you know how you feel like your body has a set point?
Yeah.
My body will go back to the same spot all
yeah.
the time. Like, even since regionals, which has been about 6 weeks,
uh-huh.
like, I've lost probably 6 pounds. Just because
of muscle?
And overall, just
yeah.
because I haven't been training
uh-huh.
as intensely and I haven't been eating as...
Uh-huh. You don't need those many calories.
Right. So it's kind of like my body just wants to be around 120 to 125.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And that's where it's happy. So
I told
wherever it lands, it's fine.
I told my husband, I was like, so when I start... running again after this baby, maybe I'll talk to you about strength training stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm a lazy runner. I just run.
And that's how I was too.
I do like hip bridges and, you know, like leg swings and like very basic.
For sure. And like when you, you know, you're really talented and you also have a life and kids and you're busy, you look at that, you know, your time as a big puzzle. Like you can't devote that much time to
other do all this
things.
Extra stuff. And Absolutely. You're like, if I get my run in, I'm good.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're in and out the door, done. So,
but I also think, I feel like I'm missing so much because since I did just run, say we train for a marathon and peak out at like 50, 60 miles.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what if I peak out at like 45, 50 instead of 50, 60 and like do a day or two of like,
right.
I would feel stronger, I'm sure.
Right. And I think,
as a runner,
transitioning from running to some different sports made me realize how much, runners actually lack and have a lot to be gained in certain areas. And I'm not saying that as a negative. That was me too.
Yeah.
Like I thought I was, you know, the ultimate athlete.
Yeah.
But like you also want to be functional.
Yeah.
And there's so many runners. Think about the movement you're doing. You're just running forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
And building aerobic capacity. So I think building, you know, CrossFit, you say the posterior chain. So hamstrings, glutes, and lower back, and having a strong core. Because ultimately, that's going to keep those knees happy and your IT bands strong. So being able to do a lunge properly or a squat properly, like I would build that into any runner's program. Really important. And the other thing, too, that I've learned a lot about in Olympic lifting is anterior core and postural restoration, two things I had never heard of. Have you ever heard of those
things?
Not
really, no.
So through running, we breathe up in our diaphragm a lot, right? We don't breathe into our belly. And actually, it's taught me to breathe properly, which is bringing the rib cage down.
Okay.
And you see all these runners that are hunched over like this. And that's because of the way we breathe. And like you can see the way I'm sitting right now, I still sit the same way.
Yeah.
So kind of having a good posture and learning how to breathe into your belly. If you Google postural restoration, you'll find plenty of exercises. So
are you like stand up straighter while you actually run to breathe better, or
it could mean that, but it's mostly exercises before and after.
And
teaching the body how to breathe that way, and kind of learning how to turn your abs on, and something that we don't do in running at all.
Yeah,
which I think would be super positive to bring in.
So would you do like some of those, would you do those exercises like twice a week or something?
Yeah,
or every
for sure.
day before?
I, when I was lifting, I did them twice a day.
So what are they?
So like one of them is called, you can Google it, called the dead bug.
Okay.
You lay on your back, kind of like a dead bug, and it's moving your limbs in opposite ways and keeping that rib cage pulled down and lower back pulled onto the ground.
Okay.
And then there's wall press abs. It's basically all ab activation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to have to, and we'll put, I'll put all those in the show notes. I'll have to get a link for them and find them.
Okay,
so we could talk about this forever, but let's do a couple of fun things. Any good books you're reading now or recently have read?
The last book I read was Legacy, and it's about the New Zealand All Blacks.
Okay.
So it's about leadership and having success as a team. And, we all the coaches read that.
Okay.
So that was my last read.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I think it was a great read for all the coaches.
What are you guys, do you and your husband, do you guys watch any shows?
Big Game of Thrones fan.
Oh, my husband watches it too.
You
I don't watch it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. He watches it on his iPad.
Oh my gosh.
He's really into it. He doesn't think I would like it though.
Really? See, I didn't like it either. I was like, that's weird.
That's why I'm kind of like, I don't know if I could get into that.
I got so into it.
But everybody says that they end up getting really into it.
Yes.
So wasn't it just the season finale?
Yeah, so we have to wait all the way till next year.
So what, anything else?
you know, embarrassing enough, I am a huge, like, Bravo fan.
Oh, it's not embarrassing.
Real Housewives. Yeah. I'll watch it all. Just,
do you have it kind of, like, on in the background while you're, like, doing other things?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I watch The Bachelor and I'm obsessed with it, so it's not embarrassing at all. And we have, I watch all of it on, like, Hulu and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have Bravo, but if we did, I know for sure I would get stuck on, like, I'd have, like, the Kardashians on, and I hate them so much, but I know I would.
It's like, yeah, sometimes that ends up on, too.
Yeah. What, anything you're loving right now?
Let's see, I kind of hit a lot of my key foods. I love 20 Tap.
20 Tap,
big craft beer.
Is that your favorite place in Broader Falls?
I would say. We probably go once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have, we're vegetarian, and they have a lot of really good vegetarian options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great place. Love craft beer. I would say non-alcoholic drink. I love Zevia. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. I buy it sometimes.
Okay. Love
it. I splurge and buy it sometimes.
I know. It's like...
It's not that expensive, but I'm like, it's a treat.
Right. It is a treat. It's good.
I've been drinking LaCroix as like...
I've been trying so hard to like it. Please help me.
So, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. And to me, it's still exciting because it's not just water. Like, I pop the tab and it's, you know, fizzy.
Right.
But I almost need a little bit more flavor to make it exciting.
I know.
Because I end up drinking, like, 3/4 of it and then being like, meh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They need, like, a LaCroix training program.
But somebody was telling me that LaCroix is, like, blowing up right now.
Gosh, we need to get on that.
And Glenn, my husband, was making fun of me. He was like, oh, you're, like, so hip. You're drinking LaCroix. Like, I didn't know that was, like, a hip thing to do. I'm just drinking it because I want to hydrate still, but, like, have something more fun than water.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I drink it. I'm like, I should like this, but I really don't.
I love the Zevia cream, the cream soda one.
Yeah.
I don't really like the poppy, like the Dr. Or, you know, whatever.
I like the black cherry one.
Oh, yeah, black cherry's good.
Yes. For recovery, I like, do you guys have Fuel for Fires? Have you ever had this?
What
it's
is
like
it?
Almost, well, I mean... It's the texture of baby food, but it has like 10 grams of protein in it.
Oh.
Super delicious.
Where do you get it?
You can find them at health food stores.
Like Whole Foods or Good Earth.
Yeah. But we sell them in the gym.
So oh, you do?
Nice. Yeah.
So what, Fuel for?
Fire.
Okay.
Yeah, runners would love that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great.
Awesome.
And you could probably carry it with you. Yeah.
It's like baby food.
It looks like a little applesauce thing.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for
coming. I didn't ramble on too long, did I?
No, you're perfect.
Okay, good.
I love it. Thank you. Okay, everybody, that wraps up episode 19. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Laura, for coming over and sharing your experiences with us. I'm sure that everybody really enjoyed everything you had to say. I know I did. You guys have a great week and stay tuned for next week. Episode 20 will drop on Friday. Have a great weekend.